Matthew chapter 22. The message today is in the resurrection. Matthew 22. A typical thing to do is not only select a portion that would be in season. Our Savior was he who knew how to speak a word in season to him that was weary. The challenge is to be as Haggai. He was God's messenger with God's message. And when you have consecutive meetings, there should be some relationship between all you say in one message and the message that follows. And you will see the relationship between the message that I gave last week, what God hath joined together, and the message today in the resurrection. See if you detect it. Matthew chapter 22, verse 23. On that day, there came to him Sadducees, they that say there is no resurrection, and they asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, there were with us seven brethren, and the first married, and he died. And having no issue, no seed, no offspring, left his wife unto his brother. In like manner, the second also, and the third, unto the seventh. And after them all, the woman died. In the resurrection. Therefore, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. But Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as angels of God in heaven. But, as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitudes heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. Luke chapter 20. Details are given us here, and I want you to listen to them. The same encounter, verse 34. We want to know, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven brothers would she be? This is what Luke tells us, verse 34. The sons of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they that are accounted worthy to attain to that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, for neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels. Notice, it does not say they are angels. They are equal unto the angels, and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the place concerning the bush, when he calleth the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. And certain of the scribes answering said, Teacher, thou hast well said, for they dared not any more ask him any question. Let us speak to God again in prayer. And Father, Indeed, thy son is a teacher sent from God. Nicodemus knew this. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God. No one spoke like thy son spoke, and no one had the heavenly wisdom that he possessed. Praise thee alone. We thank you, Father, for thy son, the Lord Jesus. We are thankful that as the Son of Heaven sheds its light upon earth, and only those who would hide behind rocks and in buildings and in places of refuge can escape its light. So, Father, thy Son, the light from heaven, has shined into the world and given them the truth. He has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. And we thank you for the light of heaven that shined upon us this day, upon our bodies. We thank you for the light of heaven in thy word, the word spoken by thy Son, that shines into our soul. Let us not be those who hate the light, that flee from the light, but let it illumine us and bring forth the results that are contained in thy heart for all men. God is not willing that any should perish, and let not any who are here perish, we pray. This can only be accomplished by that Spirit whom your Son has sent. So he must prepare hearts and empower lips. And our Father, your message should be spoken by one who is clean. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive, and to cleanse as you have promised. And we look to thee for good. Glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Do you see the connection between the message I gave last week and the message this week? Both of them are about marriage and its duration. In the first message I gave, the enemies of Christ came to him, tempting him, and they wanted to know how long a message could endure. They wanted to know what was the cause for which a man could put away his wife. And the Lord Jesus told them the answer to that question. Now, they're asking a question, not about how long marriage is to last on earth, but they want to know about the disposition of marriage when we leave this world and go to heaven. Isn't that remarkable? They wanted to know about the duration of marriage on earth, and then they wanted to know about the disposition of marriage in heaven. And in both instances, they were ignorant along with the apostles concerning the true teaching of the Word of God about marriage on earth and about marriage in heaven. In both instances, the Lord Jesus not only brings to our attention certain scriptures, but he gives us divine illumination concerning these scriptures that only someone such as he could give us. Like this. Those that embrace Deuteronomy chapter 24. A man can put away his wife. He can give her a writing of divorcement into her hand and put her away. For that reason, they embrace it. They rejoice. The Lord Jesus told them that God never intended for them to engage in divorce at all. And the only reason that was there was not to command divorce, but to tell of the regulations concerning the carrying out of the divorce. And God said it was because of your hardness of heart that you have this portion in the Word of God. So some of us read the Bible and we say, how delightful that this is here, that God has given it. God said, I would not have this in my Word at all. It's there because of the hardness of your heart. Now, in like manner, concerning the disposition of marriage in heaven, the Bible has told us nothing about it. The Lord Jesus said this, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. That has to do with earth. Concerning the duration of marriage, it says in Romans 7 and in 1 Corinthians 7, a woman is bound by the law to her husband so long as the husband liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is free to be married to another, only in the Lord. Understand? He told you how long marriage lasted, so long as the husband lived. If the husband is dead, she's free to be married to another. Now I can understand. If she's free to be married to another, then death dissolves the marriage union. The twain shall become one flesh. When one of the two die, then the woman is permitted to marry another, because the marriage is terminated by death. But the Sadducees, in a fleshly way, took all that they understood about earth and marriage, and they transferred it into heaven. And the Lord Jesus said, you do not know anything as to what you are talking about, as to what is going on in heaven concerning marriage. Here, as in the case, because of your heart is apart, God put Deuteronomy 24 in the Bible. He said, and concerning marriage in heaven, you know nothing about it, I'm able to tell you now. You see, the Lord Jesus was brilliant and was divinely illuminated to not only tell us what the scriptures meant, but to tell us also what was behind those scriptures, to tell us some things that the scriptures themselves never even commented on. He tells us about marriage on earth in Matthew chapter 19. He tells us about marriage in heaven in Matthew 22 and in Luke chapter 20. You will find it also in Mark chapter 12. So this is our Savior, that in answering questions, he has an ability within him that no other man possesses. I accept this challenge. If you say to me, I want an answer to this question, and the answer can be found in the Word of God, I am to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks me a reason of the hope that is in me. But if you ask me about some of the particulars of heaven, and God's Word does not contain them, I cannot be held responsible to tell you those things. But the Lord Jesus can. He not only knew about marriage on earth and the interpretation of scriptures, but he knew about marriage in heaven. And this is what he said about it. He said there is no such thing as marriage in heaven. It was something that God ordained for earth, and in heaven they neither marry nor are given in marriage. And so let me tell you a lie. Tell you of a lie that was brought into my home. Some Mormons came, and always wanting anything that God had for me, I asked them, I said, what can you give me that God has not already given me? What can you tell me that is not in this book that I need to know? They said, this is what we can give you. We can give you the assurance that if you are married at our temple out in Salt Lake City, Utah, then you will be married in heaven as well. That is a lie. The Lord Jesus said in heaven they neither marry nor are given in marriage. And what they have done is the same thing that the Sadducees sought to do. They sought to take the faults of earth, all the fleshly desires so often associated with marriage, and they transferred them to heaven. And they said, we can guarantee you marriage in heaven if you will get married in our tabernacle in Salt Lake City, Utah. That is a lie. Beware of anyone who makes a statement that supersedes the statements that the Lord Jesus has spoken. And also this. They would have no trouble talking about this woman, because they say, why, if you get married to all these women on earth, when you get to heaven, you will have all these wives in heaven. It will be to your glory. The Lord Jesus said, when you get to heaven, there is going to be no marriage. The fact that you will be there with that wife that you love and lived with so long on earth, yes, that if your wife dies, your husband dies, and you married another scripturally, yes, you will know of that relationship. But the Lord Jesus said, when you get there, there is not going to be any mix-up saying, now which of these two husbands that I was married to will I be with in heaven? My great-great-grandmother had three husbands when she was on earth. If you live long enough, that can happen. She lived into her 90s. She was born in 1808 and lived into the 1900s. And so her first husband, checking this up in genealogy, her first husband she married, he was an older man, and she was a very young girl. But her first husband was wealthy. My great-great-grandfather owned abundance of land, and so she married him for his wealth. And then, she being so young and he being old, he died, and so to fill the interval, she married the second time. But then she outlived that second husband, and the third husband she married was the one that she told people, that is the man that I love. And so she waited until her 70s and 80s and she finally was able to marry this man. Well, just think now, when I get to heaven, I'm going to forget that wealthy man I married, and I'm going to forget that man that filled in the interval, and I'm looking forward to being married to that one that I love. That is all thoughts of the flesh. Understand that. When she gets to heaven, though she was scripturally married to all three of them, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. What do you mean they don't get married in heaven? Inasmuch as death terminated, if when they get to heaven they're going to be married, they would have to be married again. But the Lord Jesus said, there are going to be no marriages in heaven. Now, for some, that would bring heartbreak. Because some husbands love their wives so much, they want to be united with them as husband and wife in heaven. And some, it would bring rejoicing. You mean I don't have to live with them any longer when I get to heaven? You see, some people would think that way. And so it shouldn't be that way. We must understand that God is he who instituted marriage in the first place for the purpose, for the primary purpose. I could tell you other reasons, but for the primary purpose of, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And so for that, having marriage on earth, because if there is not marriage, then there is illegitimacy in the production of children. But the Lord says that marriage is for the production of children. God said that when he told them, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But in the resurrection, we're not going to need to replenish heaven. I think of this. All of these older brethren that I've known 20, 30 more years ago, they're gone now. And where are the ones to replenish? I hope that some of you young people are going to be raised up and replaced them. But when we get to heaven, and God is saying, oh, all of those that were the greatest worshipers up here in my choir, they're dying off. You won't have to worry about that at all. The heavenly choir, once the church is caught up to heaven, it will never decrease and it will never increase. We are there forever. We are like unto the angels. You understand? And that is what God wants us to know. So, when we get to heaven, we are equal to angels. We are not angels. We are equal to angels in as much as angels are deathless. And we are sons of God because we have a divine nature. Now think of this. When it says we are like unto the angels, equal to the angels, that means that God promises us deathlessness. And we are sons of God that promises that what he has told us in 2 Peter is also true. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So in the resurrection that we are now shall be fully realized. Because there is God in me, but there is Adam in me as well. And so often you see more of Adam than you see of God. But when the Lord Jesus comes back, beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then all that you've known about me in Adam shall be gone forever. And my Christ-likeness by the new birth shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of God. And that is what you can look forward to as well. And so all of you who boast about these fleshly, earthly attainments, you had better enjoy them here, because when Christ comes, they're all going to be gone. And all of you who are day by day, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. All of you who are becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus now on earth, when He comes, then that will not be removed. What you have been working upon down here shall be perfected when you get to heaven. So, put out of your mind all of these earthly thoughts in trying to figure out how heaven is going to be by transferring the thoughts of earth and flesh and sin and problems that are down here. Please do not transfer them to heaven. The Lord Jesus says they will not be there to trouble us at all. So understand this, that in both instances, and this is what is so heartbreaking, that in both instances, the Pharisees that came and asked him about divorce. Rabbi, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? They did not care anything about the sanctity of marriage, the sacredness of it, the permanence of it. They wanted to catch him in his speech. And in like manner, the Sadducees did not even believe in heaven, in resurrection. They wanted to catch him in his speech. Isn't that sad? That both times in asking about marriage, they have no regard to marriage. But there are some that genuinely are concerned. And what is so sad that is that in Christ's day, those who were genuinely concerned and should have had the answers, they did not have the answers. When Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus, he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles if thou doest except God be with him. And the Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. And he said, how can these things be? And the Lord Jesus said, are you the teacher in Israel and you do not know these things? The head teacher in Israel. And he did not know how to be born again. And at the same time, his own apostles going along with him and holding to and sharing in the popular thoughts and feelings about marriage and divorce. And now, this is the most heartbreaking of all. The Sadducees, from whom came the high priest, the priests, the leaders of Israel, they were the ones who did not even believe in the resurrection of the dead. And so if you came and asked them concerning a loved one that had left this world and gone to the next, they would say, annihilation. There is no further life after a man breathes his last. And the Lord Jesus said, concerning this, he said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So what I must do is this. I must, enabled by the Spirit of God, search the scriptures, because the Lord Jesus said, in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. I must search the scriptures, but then I must be illumined by the Spirit of God. And if I am persuaded by the Spirit of God that the scripture teaches this thing, and I say in my own mind, this is impossible, then I must bring into play the omnipotence of God. Because the Lord Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures. They did not know what the Bible said. And then if they did see what the Bible said, they discounted it because they did not reckon on the power of God. And so if I see a scripture and say, this is impossible, this is what the Lord Jesus said again and again. The disciples asked him, who can be saved? The Lord Jesus said, with men it is impossible. Well, then nobody can be saved. But with God, all things are possible. You do not know the scriptures, you do not know the power of God. But the Lord Jesus knew the scriptures, and he knew the power of God, and he knew that special illumination of the Spirit as well, because it said the Father loved the Son, showed him everything. It said, he gave not the Son, the Spirit, by measure. And from the answers I told you, that he spoke about marriage, about Deuteronomy 24, about life and marriage after death, as in Matthew chapter 22. He had this illumination, the fullness of the Spirit that no other man had. But now, He has sent the Spirit, and the Spirit of God indwells us, and we have an anointing. We have that unction, and He teaches us all things. And therefore, Christ would say to us and rebuke us, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures. Well, I know what it says, nor the power of God, for this reason. Those who spoke about the nation of Israel, who distinguished between the church and Israel, they were laughed to scorn until May the 14th, 1948, in Israel that had been scattered and not a nation since A.D. 70, gone forever. In May the 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation. They did not reckon on the power of God. And at the same time, they do not reckon on the power of God to draw them from the north and south and east and west and bring them again to their homeland. They see what the Scripture says, but as the Sadducees, they laugh and say, it is impossible. But we see that many things have become possible when you reckon on the power of God as well. So the Lord Jesus knew what the Scripture said, and He knew the omnipotence of God, and He knew the disposition of things in heaven. And so when they challenged Him with a question, you see, they were going to embarrass Him, that no one was able to embarrass the Lord Jesus. He knew everything that could be known about the Word of God, and He knew more as well. And instead of catching Him in His talk and embarrassing Him, the tables were turned. There's only one time, and I must tell you this, one time, and it happened 40 or more years ago. I was at a Bible study in California, and as I recall, there was a man who had been invited in, and I do not believe that he made any profession of faith in Christ, and so he could say this. And a portion like the one we've read was under consideration, and when it was read that the Lord Jesus gave them an answer, this unbeliever chuckled to himself. And so he said this. He said, they came to make fools out of Christ. And these were his words. He said, he made damn fools out of all of them. And I've never forgotten it. That's a word that is profane, but that's exactly what the Lord Jesus has done. And the world then can see it. When anyone that isn't even saved listens to the words of the Lord Jesus, it's like those at the end of this encounter. This is what happened. They said, Master, you have answered well. They knew that what He had said was correct. And so this is what our Savior wants to bring to our attention. That there is in the Scripture proof that we have never seen before. If you have the mind of Christ, and if you have the Spirit of God to enable you to see it. And so instead of setting aside their attacks as to whether there is a resurrection, the Lord Jesus finally got down to saying this. He said, but that the dead are raised. He knew what they came and asked Him about marriage in heaven for. He knew. He said, but that the dead are raised. He said, have you never read? They had read it. But they had not the discernment, the capacity to see in that Scripture in Exodus chapter 3 the resurrection of the dead. The Lord Jesus said there, God says unto you, He said it to Moses, and Moses wrote it, and it's spoken unto you. God said to Moses, He said, I am the God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob. And they had been dead over 400 years. And God said, I am still their God. I am the God. The Lord Jesus said, God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And it struck some of them for the first time, just as last week when the Lord Jesus said, if you are married, it is permanent. The disciples said, well, if this is so, they understood it for the first time. And in like manner, the Lord Jesus tells about the resurrection from Exodus chapter 3, and some of them say, Master, that is well said. This. Some that are cunning would say, there's nothing about the resurrection of the dead there. There is the continued existence of man after he dies, but there is nothing of the resurrection of the dead. That is cunning. Indeed it is, because the Lord Jesus said, all live unto Him. That the dead are raised, but the Lord Jesus, with those that have divine understanding, see, having laid down the first step, that God will complete the second step. God has told them that those who die, they are dead unto man. It's like this. When the Lord Jesus came into the ruler of the synagogue's daughter, he said to all who were there, she's not dead, she sleeps. And they laughed in the storm. To men, she was dead. The Lord Jesus said, she's asleep. To him, she was alive. And the Lord Jesus said to her, Talitha kumi. And she who was dead sat up, and all live unto God. In heaven, they exist. There is no such thing as cessation of being. And he who was able to do this, keep them alive hundreds of years, he is able in the last day to raise them from the dead, to reunite their spirits and souls with their bodies. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm telling you this now with all your wisdom, you can take it. It's like a heart surgeon who has students surrounding him. He opens the heart. He does the bypass operation, all the intricate things that the students couldn't do. And when it's done and the patient is going to live, he says to the students, you sew him up. Why? Because she's going to live. The Lord Jesus said there is continued existence, and we who know of this continued existence know that he who keeps them alive in the coming day will raise their bodies from the dead and rejoice that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that thy Son is he who is able to answer all questions. We remember that his disciples said, now we know that you know all things, and you need no assistance from any man. Indeed, this is true, our God. And we are thankful that he is our Savior, and we are thankful that you are our Father, the God and Father of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, who are alive unto him. Then and this day, you are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you are our God and Father. And so we are alive forever. And if our bodies return to dust, thou shalt reunite our souls with our bodies, because all live unto you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the hope that is ours through faith in him. So, Father, hasten the day when those who have left us shall be united with us in heaven. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It is.